I want to take your Bibles and open to John chapter 9. And at the same time, take the service register so that we can have a record of your visit. We've been looking at the Gospel of John. We've specifically been looking at the I am statements of Jesus. And last week, we talked about the significance of that phrase, I am. And we traced it back to Exodus, where God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and said, I am. He said, who can I say sent me? And he said, tell them that I am sent me. And so there's divinity associated with that name. And if you study the book of John, what you find is that the reason that John wrote his gospel was to tell us that Jesus Christ is God and that by believing we might have life in His name. And I botched this illustration about the battleship and the lighthouse and how each one told the other to change their course. And eventually it was pretty clear that the lighthouse would win that argument because it could back up its claim that if the battleship didn't change his course, there's going to be an accident. Jesus is that lighthouse. Jesus backs up His claim. And so we are looking at the I am statements of Jesus, and there's one found in John chapter 9. And do something a little bit different this week, and you can just kind of follow along as you want in John chapter 9. But what I'd like to do is I would like to read a story, and it's a story written by a blind man. It's really a journal entry. That's what it is. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to listen to a story. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You that He is the light of the world, as we just sang about. Thank You that we can worship Him for who He is, that He indeed is fully God. Thank You that we can have a relationship with Him, and that He can work in us and work through us. Speak to us this morning, Lord, in Your Son's name. Amen. I've decided to keep a diary, a journal, and this is my first entry. I want to tell you a story about my life. Well, it really covers just a day or two, but I think you'll see that those days really mark an amazing turning point in my life. I don't need to give you my name or age, although when it happened, I was a teenager. And this story really isn't about me so much as it is about someone that I met. I was born several years ago to two wonderful, God-fearing Jewish parents. And it was a happy occasion, but in the course of a few days and weeks, they discovered that I was blind. It just seemed that I couldn't seem to focus on their eyes or their face or blink when they waved their hand in front of my eyes. And later they told me that my eyes looked different from all the other children, kind of cloudy. And I remember how hard it was when I first realized that I was different. I wasn't like the other kids who could go out to play. To hear them laugh and carry on as they ran by our door was hard. Well, one of the difficult things about my blindness that I had to face is that I would never learn to read, but my parents would read aloud the books of our faith and I would eagerly listen. I remember hearing about the story of Noah and Abraham and Joseph and Moses and the burning bush and the pillar of fire, David and Goliath and other stories. I guess I couldn't visualize these things very well. My mom had a hard time explaining what fire looked like or trying to describe the Red Sea parting. You know, when you're completely blind, the only way to tell night from day is by the sounds and maybe by the temperature. And I remember getting scared at night when I was a little boy. I'm glad that my mom and dad loved me and took care of me. The other children would often make fun of me when I was out with my mom, especially as I got older. She would still have to hold my hand like a little child as we walked through the crowded market. I could feel their stares. I could feel their gestures, even though I couldn't see them. And when I turned 13, it was time to do what all the other 13-year-olds did. It was time to take care of myself as a man. I was supposed to get a job and start buying my own food and try to help my mom and dad, but how could I do that? I went into town with my mom and tried to find work that I could do, but there really wasn't much for me. Either the work needed someone who could see or the owners didn't want a project, and I didn't want to be a project. Needless to say, I wasn't left with many options. I wanted to be a man, and I was tired of people talking about me and treating me like I was different. I started to think about how my life was turning out. It was becoming hopeless. No job, no prospects. You see, in my culture, women wouldn't marry a man that was blind. they wouldn't want to deal with the stares and the questions and the accusations that people would make. And they would have to take care of me. So I knew that I would probably never find someone to love me in the way that a man and woman love each other, like my mom and dad. This was really hard to accept as a young man. I would often worry about my parents getting older and wonder how I could take care of them. And I knew that when they passed away, I would really be all alone. It was depressing. I guess I resigned myself to simply being defeated. I had lost all hope that things would get better. As a matter of fact, I thought that they could only get worse with time. So I started begging. I didn't like it, but I became quite good at it. I realized that if I went by the synagogue or stood at the temple gate on the Sabbath to beg and line up with the other beggars, I could get more people to give. It seemed that people were more giving on the Sabbath, like they were doing their duty once a week, sort of like a checklist, I guess. Some would come out and give because they felt guilty over their sin. Others would come out and give because they wanted to show their friends how generous they were. And others would come out to give because they felt sorry for me. Whatever the reason, the synagogue was a great place for a beggar to be on the Sabbath. And I got where I could work it pretty well, and I was growing comfortable with it. You know, one thing about being blind is that you see with your other senses. I couldn't see what was going on there, but I could hear it all. And I noticed that some of the other beggars would whisper and laugh after the crowd was gone. "Hey, I made a good haul today. Easy money." You could tell by their sound and their movements and what they said. Well, they were just fine. They were faking it. And that really bothered me. Well, one Sabbath day, as I stood begging, I heard a teacher coming with students. And I could always tell it was a teacher because he'd be carrying on conversations like a question and answer session. Well, today this group of students stopped in front of me and rudely started asking questions about me as if I wasn't even there. I'd heard it all before. Often the students would ask a question to try to impress the teacher. "Rabbi, who sinned, this blind guy or his parents?" I couldn't believe their arrogance. "My parents. My parents were good people. My parents feared God. They might be poor, but they worked hard and they loved me. How could they be blamed for my blindness? And how dare they blame it on them? Me, as if I sinned in my mother's womb, what could I possibly have done to deserve being blind for life?" These students who were asking questions, it was like they were living on theories and philosophies, just trying to figure stuff out and go on. Some faith that is. Well, I was about to say something when I realized that they were just ignorant, and that telling them how stupid they were wasn't going to help them or myself. So I just sat there and waited for some long, ridiculous answer from the teacher. I mean, if one of these teachers came through the temple or the synagogue and didn't know the answer, he would usually say something that sounded really profound and complicated, or else he would quote some obscure verse to make it seem like he knew the answer, even if he didn't. He'd say, like, "The prophet in First Hesitations wrote," or something like that. And the students would just nod because they didn't want it to seem like they didn't know what the teacher was talking about. It was kind of funny, but really in a sad sort of way. Well, I have to tell you, though, this teacher was not like all the others. Instead of trying to cover his tail with some theory, he said something profound, but very, very simple. And now that I think back on it, what he said made a lot of sense to me. It was something that I always believed, but could never really express. Being blind makes you develop a good memory. And I remember his voice, like a voice of authority that exuded a gentle confidence and a humility. And I remember exactly what he said to those students, or to whoever they were. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Well, this was different. It surely wasn't the typical answer that I'd come to expect. And as I reflect upon it, it seems that all along, everyone was trying to find fault with me. You know, they're saying things like, "There must be a reason that this beggar is blind. He must deserve to be blind for some bad thing that he did or that his parents did that caused his blindness." But this teacher, instead of trying to give a reason, gave me hope. God being displayed in the life of a blind beggar, Is there really a chance that I am more than just a blind beggar? Now it gets crazy. After he said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with saliva and put it in my eyes. He told me to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent, so I guess he was sending me to the pool. Well, what did I have to lose? When you're a blind and desperate beggar, you'll follow anyone who cares, anyone who takes an interest, anyone who gives you hope. And I had long since stopped hoping, stopped expecting something really good to happen. But this teacher was different. And I was kind of excited for the first time in a very long time. So I believed him and I did what he asked. I went to the pool and I bent down and I began to wash the mud from my eyes. And you know what? I felt something different. There was a pain in my eyes. And it was accompanied by an increasing brightness. And things began to take shape. And I couldn't believe it. Am I seeing? How could this be? For the first time in my entire life, I'm seeing people that before I could only hear and touch and smell. I can see. One of the first things I noticed is that there was others who were around the pool and they could tell that something was happening. But I was having a hard time looking at people for the first time. The shape of their faces, their expression was nothing like anyone could have explained to me. They'd seen me begging and now I'm walking around and running around looking at people and taking in all the sights and they couldn't believe that I could see. And I overheard them asking each other, hey, wasn't he begging just a little while ago? And others would say, no, it only looks like him. But I heard them say it, and I turned to them and said, no, it is me. And they asked, well, how were your eyes open? They wanted to know. I could tell they were shocked, and to be honest, so was I. This man Jesus put some mud in my eyes and told me to wash in the pool of Siloam, and so I did what he said, and once I was blind, but now I see. Well, they wanted to know where Jesus went. And so did I. But I couldn't find him. I mean, how would I know what he looked like? Well, you would think that that would be the end of this wonderful story. But it really is just the beginning. Well, these folks brought me to the Pharisees. And I guess they wanted to show that there was a true miracle of God that had just occurred. Well, I could tell when I walked in that something was wrong. You'd think that our religious leaders would be so happy that a blind man had miraculously received his sight. Now a beggar can be a productive member of society. Well, they had a weird look on their faces. It seemed weird, but what do I know? I'd only been seeing for a little while. And it was kind of ironic. Now I can see, but I was looking at something I didn't want to see. And what I was seeing was faces that were mixed with fear and hate, faces that were threatened by something or someone. Well, they kept questioning me about what happened, and so I repeated again exactly what went on. This man called Jesus, the one who said that he is the light of the world, put mud in my eyes and told me to wash it off in the pool there. And now I can see. Well, you might expect congratulations or praises or we are really happy for you and a pat on the back. But instead, they started arguing with each other about who this man really was. They were saying things like, people who are from God keep the Sabbath. This man Jesus healed you on the Sabbath, which proves he doesn't keep the Sabbath. And since he doesn't keep the Sabbath, he must be a sinner. Therefore, Jesus must not be from God. But then some of the other Pharisees spoke up. But how can a sinner do such a miracle? And so they went on back and forth for a while. And what happened next really amazed me. These religious leaders who were supposed to know all the answers about God and life were so confused that they asked me, a poor, once blind beggar, what I thought. Hey, you who claims that Jesus opened your eyes, what do you think? Well, I didn't know Jesus personally other than his voice. I couldn't really tell them very much. Why they asked me, I don't know, but I told them that I thought that he was a prophet of God. Well, they didn't like that answer, so they sent for my parents. But they didn't care about me, and they didn't care about my parents. All they wanted was to find something wrong with this man that healed me, this man named Jesus. Well, they brought my parents in, and they began to ask my parents questions. Was I their son? Was I really born blind? Ridiculous questions. And the Pharisees had made a rule that if anyone sided with Jesus, then they would be thrown out of the synagogue. They would be excommunicated. And that's bad news in our culture. It would mean that pretty much the end of that person, the end of their relationships, possibly the end of their job. To get kicked out of the synagogue was a horrible thing to go through. It would almost be better if you were dead or blind. My parents grew more afraid, and so they told them to ask me. And to see them put my parents through what they did made me mad. And I started to feel a sense of righteous anger. It was almost a jealousy, not just for my parents, but for God as well. And I knew that something was wrong with what they were doing. It was obvious to me that these leaders were fishing for straws. They were looking to trap my parents, to trap me. So when they turned their questions back to me, I was prepared to face them. They began to ask again about Jesus, and I told them, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, though, is that I was blind and now I see. Well, I didn't give them what they wanted, so I guess they kept asking. I said, I told you already and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to be his disciples? I thought about the passage from the Psalms that my mom once read to me. The Lord gives sight to the blind. I tried to explain that Jesus must be from God, and that no man has ever done such miracles to a man born blind. If Jesus were not from God, he would have not have been able to make me see. Well, imagine that. These high-powered leaders getting all out-reasoned by a beggar. But a beggar with the truth of Jesus is better than the richest, most powerful man without him. Then it happened. They got so angry and embarrassed, I think, that they did what I knew they would do. They called me a sinner and threw me out of the synagogue. It was intense. First, I was still adjusting to be able to see. It had been less than a day. I was taking everything in for the first time. And the next thing I know, I'm arguing with the Pharisees. And then I'm excommunicated and thrown out of the synagogue. So I left. And I sat down. There I sat. I was alone. What a paradox. I can see. What a miracle. And for that, they threw me out. But you know what? Somehow I was at peace because I remembered what I heard Jesus say. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in my life. Then I looked in the distance and I noticed a man coming in my direction. He looked familiar even though I hadn't seen him before. I hadn't seen anything except in the last 24 hours. This man carried himself in a relaxed yet confident manner. And I thought he was heading up to the temple when he stopped to talk to me. Well, I found out later that he had heard that I was thrown out of the synagogue, so he was actually looking to talk to me. And as soon as he opened his mouth, I recognized that voice. It was the teacher. It was Jesus. He asked me if I believed in the Son of God. What a great question. I'd heard that a Messiah was coming and would be called the Son of God. Who is he that I might believe? I responded. But you know, even as I asked the question, I began to piece together the answer. And almost at the exact time that Jesus told me that he was the Son of God, I cried out, Lord, I believe. My body almost involuntarily fell to its knees, and I began to worship the Messiah. Christ had come to give me more than physical sight. He came to give me spiritual sight, eternal sight, his sight. As I lay there worshiping him, I heard Jesus tell the Pharisees of their blindness. I heard Jesus telling them of their sin. I could see the same look on their faces, threat and fear and anger. And isn't it ironic, I thought. These guys say they want eternal life, but they didn't want to believe in the one who gives it, Jesus. Well, I looked down at my hands. My hands are the open hands of a beggar. And now I see. And their hands were clenched tightly around their need to have control, to look good, to have the stuff that comes with their titles, to be in charge. And they thought they could see, but they were blind. And it made me sad. So that's my story. I follow Jesus. He is the Son of God. I felt his presence even when I was blind, and now I see with far more than just physical eyes. And that's really the miracle. It's all about how he came to me and sought me, a poor blind beggar. He asked me to wash the mud off my eyes, and I left the comfortable place of my begging and went to the pool and washed just as he asked. And now the work of God, the work of Jesus, is being displayed in my life. I once was blind, but now I see. And maybe this is what he meant when he said, I am the light of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed, your Son is the light of the world. And we thank you that we really, at the end of the day, are like this blind beggar. Maybe we're like the Pharisees, but we want to be like this beggar. We don't want to come to you hoping that you would arrange your schedule on our terms so that we can follow you and stay clench hold of the things that are so important to us. But we want to come to you as that beggar so that you can fill our open hands with your blessing, with your life, with eternal life. For indeed, you are the light of the world. We pray that in the name of the light of the world, your Son, Jesus. Amen.